I'm the demographic for Ex-Lax.
Today's Ira Kaufman podcast is presented by Buffalo Wild Wings, Bill Curry Ford, and Pin Chasers with three Tampa area locations. Now, at Buffalo Wild Wings, they are presenters of the Ira Kaufman World Tour. That's what we're calling it. You can watch the game with Ira at your local B-dubs the next event. Thursday, September 12th, that's the Thursday night football game. Ira will be at the Riverview location with giveaways and all the great food and beer and fun at Buffalo Wild Wings. After that, the next event will be Sunday, September 29th, Bucks at the Rams in Los Angeles. But Ira will be in Oldsmar hanging out with you. It's a great time. Opening day was great in Wesley Chapel. We had an excellent crowd, a lot of fun, and it's only going to get better as the season goes along. Buffalo Wild Wings, thank you for your support and for sponsoring the Sage Road Tour.
Hey, Steve, tell us all about your friends at Pin Chasers.
Pin Chasers, Ira, we're coming up on Thursday night, and that means drink specials and unlimited bowling. Unlimited bowling for just $10.99 starting at 9 p.m. and enjoy $1 Miller Lights while you bowl at any Pin Chasers location. Free shoes, as always. They'll even give you socks if you need them. Pinchasers.net is the website. You can reserve a lane there. Also, the Labor Day Marathon is back at Pin Chasers. What better way to spend Labor Day than bowling all day, if you want to, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. for just $12. Don't miss it. Pinchasers.net. Congratulations on 60 years to Pin Chasers. They're great servants in the community, and their three locations, Zephyr Hills on Hillsborough Avenue in Tampa, just north of the airport, and the Midtown location on Armenia, where Ira Kaufman will be hanging out later this season and for a special event that you'll be invited to. Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford for nearly 60 years, is just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway and at BillCurryFord.com, home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. Bill Curry Ford is a proud supporter of JoeBucksFan.com.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Ira Kaufman Podcast, featuring the one and only, the custodian of Canton, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the king of Newport, Richie. He is Ira Kaufman. Ira, good afternoon. How are you doing today?
How the hell am I going to live up to all this introduction over here, Lee? We're sitting out here at Panera Bread, Lee. It's raining out, but do we care? No. We continue this podcast because it's in demand, and we are here to present it to you, and you are filling in for Mr. Isbitz, who's on assignment. We're going to get this done. It's going to be tight. It's going to be compact, and it's going to be juicy.
Juicy and fun, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Man, my name's Lee DeCamper. I'm one of the Joes at JoeBucksFan.com. By process of elimination, that means the other Joe, Steve Isbitz, is not here. Life gets in the way sometimes. Conflicts get in the way. We're not conflicted. We're Bucks fans. And I personally enjoy this rain because it's cooling things down a little bit. We're outside. We don't want to... Last time we recorded here at Panera, we tried to do it inside, and we were acting like we were in a library, like the librarian was going to come over and shush us.
And that's not the way we run this podcast. Emotions run high, especially, Lee, with the first topic that you're going to hit me with. I'm afraid I might spit up my coffee over here.
Well, you've been a critic of Jason Light, and I'm not saying Jason hasn't made his mistakes, but over the weekend, it was learned that Jason Light got an extension. He signed it back in January, and the extension mirrors the length of Bruce Arians' contract. So there's a couple obvious elements there. But your feedback, I know, like I said, you've been a critic of... You like Jason, but you've been a critic of his moves.
I got a very simple way to explain my reaction to this news. First reported by Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Give him his props. Good job, Richard. Here's how I will explain this, Lee. I went in yesterday for my annual stress test. The same cardiologist who put stents in me, mm-hmm. I believe it was three stents, 5 years ago. So it's 5 years
and you're still around.
Haven't had any problems. Yeah. So I walk into the office and, you know, it's a whole big procedure. It's a 3-hour deal and they want to look at the heart and before the treadmill, after the treadmill. Well, I got to the treadmill part and I walk in and the doctor's there and I said, Doc, I don't believe I need the treadmill today. He goes, what are you talking about? It's a critical tool, diagnostically. I said, I don't need it. He said, why not? I said, because I just found out Jason Light may be here for another 5 years. So you can throw that treadmill out the window and take my blood pressure right now because it's off the charts. He started laughing. He goes, nevertheless, you get on that treadmill. I lasted 7.5 minutes. Now,
what, running or walking?
Now, well, you start off with a nice, easy lope. Even you could have lasted a couple of minutes. And then the guy that's kind of monitoring the whole thing says, I'm going to crank it up a little bit, which they did. Then after about another 3 minutes, he said, I'm going to crank it up again. Now I'm running like I'm running through the Serengeti, and I got a freaking leopard chasing me. I can't keep up with this freaking machine. It's going 100 miles an hour. So after about 60 seconds, they inject you with some kind of radioactive isotope. I'm telling you, it's a whole big thing. And then he takes your blood pressure, and you look at the monitor, and it's like 190, you know, where I started off at 125. And so they got what they wanted. They want that heart racing. I don't think they had to do it because this news about Lighten and his contract Marion Arians, I didn't think I needed the treadmill at that point. Lee, let me add this, and then I want you to chime in. Seriously talking about this. To me, it shows one thing above all. The leverage, and you love that word leverage, the leverage, the clout that Bruce Arians had over this entire organization in November, December, January, when these issues were being discussed. Arians could have added a private plane or a yacht, perhaps, and might have gotten away with it.
He probably has.
Lee, he wanted Arians, and God bless him. He feels comfortable working with Arians, and that's fine. They did work together only 1 year in Arizona, 1 year. Then Jason moved on. But Lee, what Bruce Arians wanted, and I think still wants, Bruce Arians gets. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Not only are you accurate, that's why the blowback, the reaction to me, I was not surprised at the extension. I was surprised at the blowback, the reaction. That's what I was surprised about. I don't think I'm unreasonable to suggest if Light wasn't here, Arians wouldn't be here.
And perhaps vice versa.
Yes, exactly.
That's right.
Arians, probably the only reason he stuck here was like, I want Jason here. If you don't want Jason here, then I don't want to be here. And so it was a package deal. I firmly believe that. And that's why I'm really not surprised. Maybe I should have been surprised, but the reaction of people, I mean, people flipped out. And I'm like, well, what? It just, I wrote that on JoeBucksFan.com that I believed Arians wouldn't be here with not for Light.
Now, speaking of surprise, Lee, use the word surprise. And I don't wish anybody any harm. I just think it's reality, and I think you'd agree with me. I would be surprised if Bruce Arians is here 4 or 5 years. I would be surprised.
If they're winning, maybe.
Maybe,
yeah.
And obviously his health has to be good.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's short term. I think it's 2 or 3 years for Arians. And if he gets what he thinks he's going to get, which is, you know, 10-6 and 11-5, look what's going to happen, Lee. Winston's going to get a long-term extension. Light stays. Some of his staff people get elevated and are in serious contention, perhaps, for head coaching jobs or promotions.
Mm-hmm.
And, Lee, one more thing. I've made this point to you before. I think it's the biggest point going into 2019. I'm sticking with it. And it involves Jason Light to a great extent. Lee, if they go 10-6, 9-7 even, certainly 11-5, it means to a great extent that some of these Jason Light draft picks that have just kind of sat there, the Noah Spences, just sat there.
Languished,
good one. Vernon Hargraves, sometimes through injury, sometimes through ineffectiveness. Sure. Jameis to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
Vita Vea, if you want to count that, Kappa. If the Bucks are having a good season, it means those guys have taken a step up.
Yes.
And I'll be the first one to say it, Lee, and you're right there with me. If that happens, I'm taking a different look at Jason Light. I'm looking at him in a whole different
way. That's fair.
And I'm saying, shame on Dirk Cutter's staff. Couldn't bring out the best in these guys. It could happen, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
It's not beyond the realm that could happen.
When I analyze Light, and I guess for lack of a better word, review him, I always give him the benefit of the doubt of the first 2 years. Because we know Lovey ran, he had final
set. Fair enough.
There wasn't one player on that roster Lovey didn't want. And we know the Bucks, since Arians was hired, They've all but telegraphed they thought the coaching was lousy. Now, there's no doubt about it. Mike Smith and his defense, there's no excuse how bad it was. No excuse. Offense, I'm hesitant to go after Cutter for a couple reasons. One of which is he had the number one passing offense in the league with a quarterback, one of which is a vagabond. And the other guy, a lot of people can't wait to run out of town.
And he brought in a strong coordinator in Todd Monk.
Yeah, so was his running game in some part? Yeah, of course. I'm uncomfortable going after Cutter saying he did a bad job. The guy had number one passing offense in the league. That's never happened with the Bucs, never. Were there certain elements that maybe lacked? Of course, like I said, running game, a lot of people.
But he's still responsible for the total stats.
Yes. So, yeah, and that's why he's not here. That is as simple as that. My biggest issue about Cutter was after 2017, Bucs had the worst defense in the league. No one paid the price. No one. And that, I can't just put Cutter on the griddle for that. Yeah, Cutter was at fault. But guess who else was at fault? Jason Light was at fault. And the family Glazer, who was also at fault.
Maybe they thought picking up JPP was going to solve all their issues, Lee. And it helped. But there they are at the bottom of the league again.
When a guy in a bar could see that defense was beyond words with Mike Smith, they should have cut the losses and moved on.
And you believe the problem wasn't all about a lack of talent. You're attacking the scheme.
Yeah. I mean, well, we'll find out for sure in a few weeks.
That's right.
If there was talent or not. But basically, the Bucs, when I say the Bucs, you can say anybody from Arians up top have been blaming the coaching for the last 2 years. We'll find out in a few weeks if that was really coaching.
And Light doesn't want to say that publicly.
No.
He doesn't.
No.
But you know he believes it. Him and his personnel guys have to think they didn't use our guys in the right way.
You would know this better than I. That's why I'm asking. Is there a natural friction between the suits?
Yes.
And the coaches?
Yes.
Because
when things aren't going well.
Yeah, because they're always going to say, wait a minute, I know this guy can do X, Y, and Z. Why aren't you developing him?
Yes.
Or the coach will say, well, you gave me this stiff. What do you expect out of him?
Now, enter Todd Bowles, Lee. We hear a million stories about Bowles, a million adjectives. The one thing we hear above all, he's going to play to the guy's strengths and put him in position to succeed.
We
shall see.
Yeah, that's what Mike Smith said, too, and look what happened.
More than a couple of fans have said to me, and some other people, observers, hey, what's going on with the great Devin White? Has he leveled off in practice? I haven't noticed him in games. Lee? I'm not gonna worry about Devin White at this point. First of all, and I do firmly believe this, Bowles is showing 10% of his hand.
I believe it.
And Devin White's a big part of a lot of the wrinkles that Bowles is going to throw at opposing offenses this fall
in theory.
The games start.
In theory, yeah.
I like Devin White's demeanor. I do think he's a natural leader. We'll see if he flashes Friday night against Cleveland. I expect him to play maybe half a game.
Mm-hmm.
I want him to play about a half a game. He's playing without Lavonne David. That's a factor.
Sure.
I'm not worried about Devin White at this point.
Worried is not the word I would use. Disappointed, maybe, because he's not making too many flash plays. I talked to a hardcore rabid Bucks fan this morning. He's been out there a few practices, and he's like, I don't see Devin White doing anything.
I can't believe Jason Light said that to you.
And I told him, I said, well, I hate to say it, but I'm in your boat. But like you said, and I told this guy, I don't think they're showing him at all. I've seen him make about two sideline to sideline plays. Two. And I made every all practice but two. And I seen him make two plays. I seen him make he sacked Jameis on a blitz. I saw him make more plays in underwear football, which scares me.
If we're saying this in October and November,
then
we got a problem.
Yes,
then
it's
we have
an
a
issue.
Problem.
Now, what this guy that called me up this morning, like I see, he's a hardcore, rabid Bucks fan. He's bemoaning, oh, the Bucks got the wrong Devin. He thought the Devin Bush, the Steelers guy, he was
playing. Well, Devin Bush is going to be a good player, Lee. I'm not knocking Devin. And by the way, I think the Bucks liked Devin Bush.
Apparently so, yeah.
I think they did. He wasn't worth taking at five. And they think, this guy's going to be the better player. But Devin Bush is going to be a good player. They're calling him the next Ryan Shazier. That's high praise in Pittsburgh.
Ooh.
I don't think he needs that kind of pressure. But Tomlin will bring out the best in that kid.
Tomlin's a good coach. Yeah, so I guess the word is disappointed. I was hoping to see more from Devin White, but I have to remember, number one, it's preseason. Number two, as you said, the vast majority of Bulls offense he hasn't shown yet.
Now, you use the word disappointment, Lee. I'm going to take disappointment into September because I think this is a concern. I think it is the concern. Yes, the defense has a long way to go to get towards the middle of the pack, and they may not make it, but I think they can make it up to 22, which would be a big jump.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Lee, the Hogs up front, and I'm talking about those five up front. It's an issue, Lee. And not just the five, the lack of depth behind the five.
That's the
Lee,
issue.
This unit, and you've been reluctant to criticize them. You focus maybe a little bit more on the running backs, and that, you know, that has been a problem. And now you got Jones nursing a bruised knee. Mm-hmm. Where'd that come from?
Well, Kevin O'Donnell of Fox 13 had a still shot that looked like he hyperextended it on a kickoff return. And the shot that he put on Twitter, it doesn't look pretty.
I don't know if I'm playing this kid Friday night.
I wouldn't.
You know. But let's get back to those guys up front. Lee, I can't say this enough. I think this is the hidden stat. Nobody wants to mention this. I'm the only guy that wants to mention this. Because I've heard people say, Lee, oh, if they get some injuries on the offensive line, it's a problem just like last year. They didn't have any.
Yeah.
And when you don't have any, if you got any kind of unit up there, you got a gelling unit by, you know, week six. These guys are into it.
Like the Falcons 2 years ago.
Yeah, you're not changing pieces over there. They got guys that played 16 games. 16 games. I think Dotson might have missed a game or two. That's rare.
Yeah, it's rare for that to happen.
And you know, Smith doesn't miss a freaking game.
Yeah.
And neither does Marpet. And Bedenock started 16 games. So what I'm saying is, Lee, the chances of them getting incredibly fortunate again up front like they did in 2018, that's remote. That doesn't happen 2 years in a row.
Agree.
And, Lee, that's why I'm serving you up a softball down the middle, and I know you're going to gobble it up. Lee, is there any question at this point, I mean any, that the Bucks are going to pick up an offensive lineman, maybe two, when teams start cutting guys? I don't think there's any question.
Bruce Arians has all but said it. And, as a matter of fact, he said it again today. He's like,
hey. He did say it again.
Yeah, he basically said, just because you made it to 53, don't rest easy.
They churn that roster.
Churn. I know it's easy habitual parroting to whine about the offensive line, but those backups, brutal.
And the Lidke, you know, that Lidke injury didn't help.
No, it didn't help.
That didn't help.
And you know what? Arians come out and said it. He goes, "We're not developing young tackles." Who's a tackle? Bedenock. And Ira, your reaction when you heard Ian Beckles went on his podcast and stated that Jason Light told him teams are offering him draft picks for Bedenock.
I spit my coffee up all over my beet salad. I had to throw out my beet salad. It was ruined. What in God's name is going on over here, DeKemper? And the words of Lee DeKemper, and I think beautiful words they are. If you can get a sixth or seventh round draft pick for Caleb Bedenock, You put him on the next freaking bus to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, why is he still here?
Yeah, you know, all Beckel's doing is saying what he's told. You know, he's not weighing in, and when he does weigh in, he's incredulous like you and I are. So, we've heard this kind of stuff in the past that hasn't panned out. Let me put it very simply. You can't do better than this, Lee. A man plays 16 games, starts 16 games at right guard. A man doesn't do well at right guard. And then it is announced he's no longer a guard. And now you're going to tell me people from Jacksonville all the way to Seattle are salivating over Mr. Caleb Bedenock? Tell me I'm crazy over here, Lee.
As a run blocker at tackle, I thought Bedenock was okay. I really do. I remember he started up in Green Bay 2 years ago. He did an okay job pass blocking. Well, I don't know about that.
And it's the opposite for DeMar Dotson at right tackle. He's a better pass blocker.
Yeah. So maybe it's just me, but I swear he's gotten worse. Bedenock. I really do. I swear he's gotten worse.
And you didn't like that whiff on Noah Spence. You still like
that. I think I've watched the clip of that video 35 times. I can't get enough of it, man. I mean, Noah Spence is being like, I mean, it was a pure definition of a turnstile.
If that happens with D. Ford in week one, Jameis has got a broken vertebrae.
Yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. and Arians is having a conniption.
Well, that's just that. That play, Noah Spence visibly stopped the running when he got near Jameis. Just stopped. You know, he would have clobbered him, would have beheaded him. I don't know what to think. But now, when I talk about the offensive line, there's a couple things. Number one, I'm not saying they're the Oakland Raiders of the mid-70s. No, not far from it. But I don't think they're a train wreck either. The train wreck for the Bucs was 3-4 years ago when they had Anthony Collins and O'Neal Cousins and Garrett, Gilkey. Those, I mean, that was brutal.
I've tried to forget some of those
that
names.
That was brutal. So people want to talk about bad. That was bad. That was bad. So you compare these
two
guys.
So they got two guys on a second contract that were drafted.
Yeah,
Allie and the guy who was the highest paid center in football when they signed him as a free agent. There's a lot of resources spent up front.
Yeah, they do. Oh, they do have, and obviously, yeah, like you said, Jensen. Now, here's something for you, and I just thought of this last week. So every time someone comes at me about the offensive line, here's my response. If this offensive line is as brutal as you say it is, how in the world did the Bucs have two quarterbacks stay upright long enough to throw a pass, and not just complete passes, but lead the league?
Fair enough.
Lead the league. And so to me,
I've never said that terrible in pass block.
No,
I've
you never have. Never your issue is running. And my issue is, you know, I see decent running backs. They have slop for free. I mean, and now, granted, these guys are all-time Hall of Famers. But I remember when Walter Payton was young with the Bears. That was a terrible offensive line.
Yes.
Dan Jiggetts.
Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders.
You took words out of my mouth. Barry Sanders. So, I mean, at some point, are we going to lay some of the responsibility on the backs? I mean, look, so honestly, I love Peyton Barber as a human being. Great story. You know, he was homeless and he's helping his mom. Love the story. But at the end of the day, he was undrafted. He was undrafted. Jones might have been a mistake. Jackie's Rogers, I mean, was he selling strawberries on a street corner
and
or something?
And the fourth guy looks the best out of the four of them, right? You know, he's running
he
well.
He was undrafted as well, right, Dari?
You know, Lee, one thing I want to mention about last week's game against Miami, nice comeback win. Nobody's going to care about the standings in preseason.
No.
But, Lee, it begs the question about this guy. I mean, we've been talking about him for 3-4 years or whatever. What are we to make of little Ryan Griffin? Lee, what are we to make of him? Is he going to make the team? Is he going to be cut? Is he practice squad material? When is this guy going to throw a regular season pass,
I hope
Lee?
Never. Because that means Jameis is hurt.
Oh, very good. Very good answer.
Now, this is something else, and I love that. I'm going to write about it on Wednesday.
He's Mr. August right now. He is Mr. August.
Which was Ernest Graham a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Beckles was criticizing Jameis for running. He basically, and I'm paraphrasing here, he goes, "Dear God, don't run in preseason. We need you." And he said, "If you think Jameis is bad, if he gets hurt, this is a 2-win season."
Wow, that's strong stuff. That's strong
stuff.
He said,
"You do not want Gabbard out there."
Well, the first guy he's going to is Gabbard. There's not any question. He's got a lot of faith. I've heard it from many people, Lee, mm-hmm. in Blaine Gabbard.
Yeah, he
thinks he can win with this guy. Now, I don't know what that's based on. First of all, Lee, he was only with them for one season mm-hmm. in Arizona. Drew Stanton was the main backup, not Gabbard.
Yeah, let's think about that for a
moment. Let's think about
Stanton.
That. He's got a terrible record, Gabbard. Ooh. Now, he played for some bad Jacksonville teams. I understand that. He hasn't looked bad in camp, but that's camp. I don't think you can make the argument he's as good a backup as Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't think you could say that.
No.
You know, now the more you see Fitzpatrick, the more he's exposed.
Yeah.
And by the way, have you been, and I know you have been, because you don't miss anything. The words out of Miami, sort of like, don't give up on Josh Rosen starting week one.
Yeah, that's coming out.
It's coming out. Yeah. It's coming out. I didn't understand this infatuation with Fitzpatrick as the start. I don't even understand that. You go out and
bizarre.
You get Rosen.
Yeah.
Play the freaking guy.
Yeah.
He's got 1 year. He was with a terrible team. Now, Miami's not a lot better than Arizona.
No.
But I want to know what the hell I got with Rosen.
I mean, there's a bunch of really, really good quarterbacks coming out in the draft. So
If he stinks, you got to go draft somebody.
Exactly. If I was the Dolphins, play this guy the whole season. Like you said, you know what Fitzpatrick's going to give you. And you know what he's not going to give you. Play Rosen the whole season. And that way you have 16 games to decide. Do we go out and get Tua or Hebert from Oregon or Fromm from Georgia? Or do we keep with Rosen and build from there.
The open competition with Fitzpatrick, I don't understand.
Here's something that is kind of sick. But, you know, Beckles said if Jameis goes down in preseason, you're talking about a 2-win team. God forbid if that does happen, what do you do with the Bucs? If you're the Bucs, what do you do?
I think that's a very interesting question.
Do you give Jameis, or do you franchise Jameis? And then you take, which is probably going to be a very good pick, and there's a bunch of teams going to be wanting one of those quarterbacks, you could get a haul in the draft by trading that.
You're certainly not going to give him a big extension at that point,
correct,
but you could franchise him.
You could franchise him. Yeah, what do you do then? If God forbid Chambers gets hurt Friday night against the Browns.
I think they'd franchise him.
And then you trade that draft pick because it's going to be very valuable.
That's a good scenario.
You could clean
and
up.
Again, you get your pass rusher. You get your pass
I hope.
Rusher, Lee.
I hope. You know, gosh darn.
And you get a haul. You get a haul, yes, for the number three pick.
Exactly. Now, what do you think about this, Ira? I've said this for a few months already. You eloquently wrote about this, how post-Chucky era has not been kind at all. The Bucks, for whatever reason, have all but ignored pass rush. Every once in a while, we'll try to get a guy. But it's not like it's a focus of the team. Additionally, running back. And we'll get some guy off the street, you know, Jacques Rogers or Peyton. We'll get an undrafted free agent, blah, blah, blah. You know, we'll draft Jeremy McNichols and have a rotten running game. Those two parallels, I don't think it's a coincidence that you basically ignore the pass rush, you basically ignore running back, and you wonder why you're losing constantly.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
Lee,
you.
The facts are they've gone very heavy for targets. Very heavy for targets. O.J. Howard, Mike Evans, of course, was a great pick. Godwin. And these are very good players. But then they're short in these other areas. And you know me with the trenches. I think this goes back pre Vince Lombardi. You know, this is back to Paul Brown. You went in the freaking trenches, Lee. Nothing's going to change. It's the 100th year of football, and nothing ever changes.
I'm going to suggest that goes back to George Halas.
You can't scheme your way to 10 wins, Lee. You can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, and people said, well, the 49ers with Bill Walsh, that was a finesse team. No, they hit you right in the mouth.
Yeah, there was a...
Ronnie Lott, don't give me that finesse team
Hacksaw
crap.
Hacksaw Reynolds. Who was that crazy defensive end and went to the Hall of Fame?
Charles Haley.
Yeah.
Fred Dean.
Yeah.
I mean,
they would punch you in the mouth. Yeah.
You know, you want finesse. All right, that's Jerry Rice in Montana. I understand
they
that.
Didn't beat the Bears and the Giants by being finesse. They went toe-to-toe with them.
Absolutely. You don't beat the Giants in the playoffs with finesse. You know, you got to handle Lawrence Taylor.
You know, you're going to bring this up, and we'll end the podcast with this. And this is not Bucks-related, but it's NFL-related. You know, you've been covering the NFL since, I was talking about with Johnny Lujack was this is what your buddy Chris Russo of Sirius XM Radio, I guess USA Today had the top 50 teams of all time.
Is he back on the air this week?
Yeah.
All right. I called him last week.
Yeah, you told me about that. And you're going to be back on Russo's show every Wednesday.
Yeah, I will be back.
Beginning 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
2 weeks. Well, his first day back, they got into a screaming match about Jimmy Garoppolo and Dak Prescott.
You got to be kidding.
No.
Oh, my God.
So, anyway...
I'm surprised they didn't bring up Marv Levy.
Well, a guy from Staten Island called and got Russo worked up, and Russo said he'd take Garoppolo over Dak. And this guy said, but he hadn't done anything! From Staten Island. USA Today, I can't remember, top 50 or top 100 teams in NFL history.
Yes.
And Russo was talking about it. I can't remember. It's top 50.
He was giving them credit, I believe.
Yeah, they did a good job. But Russo, he had his top five. He said one of the top five teams, he would pick the 86 Giants over the 85 Bears.
I think that's nuts.
Well, he had compelling argument. He said, one, you had a better quarterback. Yeah, Phil Simms was better than Jim McMahon. Chicago didn't have any weapons. Well, he forgets about Walter Payton. I know Walter Payton was toward the end of his career, but he's Walter Payton.
That team scored points.
I mean, their defense was lights out, but Russo thought the 86 Giants was a better overall team. He said the Bears, where it was one-dimensional, defense only, and they only won one Super Bowl, where... Well, you're talking about years. You're not talking about...
Defense only. That's a historic defense. Historic.
Yeah. Historic.
Don't, you don't pass that off. That had a good defense.
Well, here's another compelling argument he had.
Go ask Tony Eason about that defense.
I was going to say, were there 10 points scored on them the whole playoffs?
I believe that's right.
Well, here's what Russo said. The Bears beat Washington, and I can't remember who was quarterback then. Then they beat Los Angeles with Peter Brock.
Peter Brock. I understand.
And then they beat Tony Eason. Whereas the Giants, they beat the 49ers in Montana, they beat the Redskins, and then they beat Elway and the Broncos. And he said that was a tougher road to hoe. That's a compelling argument. That's a compelling argument.
You can't blame the Bears for picking the wrong schedule. Yeah,
exactly.
You know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
That was a historic team. And you just mentioned Walter Payton. Do I see Walter Payton on the 86 Giants? Now,
O.J. Anderson, silver-haired O.J. Anderson.
Now, they didn't let Payton score a touchdown. And you know, I think that was a big regret for Ditka. But, you know, Walter Payton had to get over that. You got to get over that.
Thank you. To me, I mean, yeah. NFL Network did a big thing. To me, that is so trite of him. You just won the first Super Bowl in franchise history. You're mad because you didn't score a touchdown?
It affects Walter Payton's legacy 0%. Zero. Yeah. You know, and so, you know.
But Rome still's off his rock.
That's the only thing I ever fault Walter Payton in his whole career for moping about that.
You know, I'll bring us back to the Bucks, then we'll end it. Dooming. Steve Dooming, you know, RIP, rest in peace, the former dean of Tampa Bay Sports Radio, he always thought the Bucs got the shaft and, you know, who had the better defenses in NFL history. He said the Bucs did it for a decade.
I believe that's a strong argument for Dooming. The 2000 Ravens, the 85 Bears, I believe that's strong from Dooming. Top 10 for a decade. And that is one of my arguments, Lee, in the room. Because people say, hey, you already got two guys in Canton. What do you want off that defense? You won one Super Bowl. I said, it's not all about Super Bowls.
It's not what you want. It's who deserves it.
Yeah. And speaking of those Bears, who only won one Super Bowl, they got three defensive players. They've got Dan Hampton, mm-hmm. Richard Dent.
Singletary.
And Singletary. I'm not knocking that. Mm-hmm. But don't limit the Bucs to two guys. Because, first of all, once you put Lynch in, you got Rondé knocking on the door, and some Buck fans are screaming at me about Simeon Rice.
And so's a certain Glazer member.
And so's a certain... That was the best defense of its time.
Yeah, it was.
Over a period of time.
Bears people trying to get Fensick in or Wilbur Marshall?
I don't think so, but, you know, Buddy Ryan was a big part of that success, too. By the way, I'm gonna leave this podcast with this one. A bunch of us in the Buck newsroom, we were waiting for Aarons to come to the podium. We start talking about the Ring of Honor.
Oh, I thought you were talking about video.
No, Ring of Honor
on Twitter.
That's a whole other subject. You know who's coming up after Rondé Barber and some guys like James Wilder, and I like James Wilder. Somebody mentioned Hardy Nickerson. That's worthy. Warwick Dunn. I threw a name out there, Lee. I'm going to run it past you to end this podcast, this robust podcast. I don't believe you've heard this before.
For the Ring of Honor.
Tell me if you reject it wholeheartedly or say interesting. You ready? His name's Monty Kiffin.
Interesting.
Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford, Buffalo Wild Wings, and Pin Chasers for today's podcast. There's another one coming this week. Remember, you can enjoy the Ira Kaufman podcast at Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, which is really iTunes, and at Stitcher.